Let me do that one more time. Make sure. This is Brian H. Please welcome.
Thank you, Karen. Can y'all hear me now? I got a big mouth, so this will probably work. Now, if any of y'all are nervous, I'm going to help break them butterflies for a minute, because I'm going to say something comical, I hope. And I'll get to my name here in a minute, because I know who I am. And I know what I am, too. I'm going to give you a little redneck word, because most of y'all seem to be flatlanders, because y'all live around in the flatlands here. I got some redneck. I didn't make this up. Actually, it came from a flatlander out of Atlanta, but that's not a story. Y'all ever heard the word mayonnaise? That's a redneck word, you know. Man, there's quite a few folks in this room here tonight. So anyway, if you had butterflies, maybe that helped crack it. I'm Brian, I'm an addict. I really don't like these tables because they make me feel separate. I don't even like the stage. I am you. I don't like the stuff that makes me feel separate from you, and I am you, and if I don't have you, I'm nothing. I will not be here. That will ruin my life again. Anyway, a spiritual journey. I thought about that. And I realized that the only place that I ever write scripts is in the shower or in the car. So when I'm working, I don't think about it. Because the scripts never come out, you know. A meaning one of many. So we're not sheep. And we're not on our trek to the Mecca in Chatsworth or wherever it is. We are free if we choose to be. So, Jimmy Kennan wrote three words in 1965 that are the most freeing words to me. They're in our book. Read the book, you'll find it. I ain't telling you where it is. If you don't find it, read it again. You might find something else. Oh, I forgot. You get a dictionary, and if your sponsor didn't tell you to get a dictionary, get a different sponsor. Now it's time to get back to topic. A, one of many. We, all of us, have complete creative freedom to understand this the way fits our life. I'm not a sheep, so I'm not going to follow y'all around. I mean, in the beginning I did because I needed that. But after a while, we become our own individual. And we start living things with a little bit more authenticity as to who I am. I need to be me. I don't need to be an automaton and walk around and walk this way and talk this way and act this way and think this way. I tried that for years and years and years. And it never worked. Because I was always confused. I don't understand the way you do. Thank God. Y'all be loaded. So A is one of many. In our creative freedom, what I do to find my authenticity is I sit and I listen to you. This is the we part of the program. I come to these rooms and I listen to you folks in the room with me, sharing with me your experiences, and I can take whatever I need from that and hold it close to me. That one word in that meeting, that one sentence, that one smile might just be what gets me through. Wow, I like that. I'm going to make that part of me. So I ingrain that in me. That's the we part of this program for me. We share our experiences so I don't have a set of blinders on and I don't have one perspective. I have many, many, many thousands of millions of perspectives wherever I go. I'm in a home group. And it's my home group because I married this program. So when I go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I'm home. So I can do service wherever I go. So when I come to this and I get the we, I make it mine. See, if we don't internalize this stuff, we can we all over ourselves. We share experiences so I can internalize it and I can make it mine. And I can come back to my authenticity. That's A. Look at all the A's in here. We're not B's and C's, we're A's in here, folks. Spiritual. Everything is spiritual. All of this gig is spiritual. All of it. Here, let me show you. Our friend here was speaking. What's your name?
Robin.
Can I say that name up front?
Robin.
Robin said that he used the word despair. Let me see something here. Despair. Can you see it? Oh, it must be spiritual. Frustration. Oh, didn't see that either. You know, this whole program is occult. That's in our book too. And I'm going to show you where, I'll tell you where that one is, because that's an important word. It's in the very front of our book in our symbol. I have to give you that. I didn't say cult. I said occult. Of the unseen. There's wires in these walls and there's air ducts in these walls. We can't see them, but we know they're there. We can feel the air, or we can plug our phone into it, charge the phone, so we know those wires are there, but we can't see them. Same thing with this gig here. Same thing with all these spiritual principles that we have. Spiritual principles cannot be seen, they cannot be touched, and they cannot be felt. Touch. So what are they? We have to find out for ourselves what they mean in our creative freedom, what spirituality means to us. Because what's spiritual to me may not be spiritual to you. We are a fellowship, but we are a fellowship of individuals. So, journey. I've been on this journey all my life from day one. So I had a lot of frustration. Didn't see that one either. Sometimes I don't see them coming and they hit me like a brick wall. Boom. See, fear. Ooh, that. No, didn't see it. Fear is a good one because that's the overall description. Frustration is an aspect of fear that we had to put a label on so we could understand it better. Now for me, the spiritual about fear, I'm afraid if I can't label it, if I don't know what it is, I'm afraid of it. So I label it. I put a label on it. Frustration. Aggression. Whatever they are. Desperation, isolation, loss of control, all that. I can't see them, but I have to put a label on them. Because once I can put a label on it and say it's this kind of fear, I'm not afraid of it anymore. So you see, we have to identify the fear in our lives. The unseen. Now for me, if fear just happens, but you see, I'm still on step one or maybe two. Or maybe it's three. Oh gosh, it's all three. That's the foundation they told me. When fear is in my face, I'm overwhelmed. And that's when I make unhealthy choices. I found out something else too. You see, okay, here's something else. Probably off topic, I don't care. More will be revealed. I stay here. I don't tell people to keep coming back. Give that back to the Liquid Fellowship. It works for them. We need to stay here. So don't keep coming back. Stay here. Because if you stay here, you'll have no reason to come back. You'll already be here. So, you remember where I was? Oh, yeah, but other than that. Oh, when that fear is in my face, whoo! I'll tell you what I'm powerless over. Oh, I'm powerless over people, places, and things. I heard that shit for years. I'm glad we don't use it that much. And this is my stuff. I'm not powerless over people. If I say something here today that touches one of you and you take it into your life and you internalize it and you go, wow, that makes sense and that feels good to me. How powerless am I? How powerless are you when you go to a meeting and that newcomer's crying and you give them a hug and they feel loved and they feel comfortable? How powerless are you? Stop that I'm powerless stuff. There are things we're powerless over, and every one of them are unseen. So, I hope they can hear me. When it's in my face, I'm powerless over my first thought. Period. See, I'm not powerless over drugs. If I'd still be using. I haven't touched anything in over 30 years. So, that first thought just shows up. There it is. And it's unseen, believe me. But I feel it. From that moment, whether I'm loaded or not, I have a choice. Say, well, I'll give up my choice. The hell I did. I chose to ignore them. I'm not powerless over my choices. I ignore them consciously. What am I going to do with that thought? Am I going to bring it to a total program? Complete total program that has room in it for all manifestations of the recovering and holy recovered person. All of it. No matter what it is. This ain't a drug program. We got Narcotics Anonymous. We got narcotics as the first word in our title. But that's just to get us here from our activities. I'm not powerless over drugs. Come on. I'd still be loaded. So, that first thought, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to take it and... I didn't say this. Words are extremely important. Extremely important, because I don't want y'all to believe me. I really don't. In your creative freedom, you believe what you need to believe, and you need to believe it. You don't need to believe what I'm telling you, because what I'm telling you is from my filter. This is how I understand these things. So, I'm not telling the truth, because the truth cannot be spoken. It can only be experienced. I'm telling you my experience. You utilize it however you need to. Experience. There's another one. Oh, must be spiritual. Didn't hit me in the eye when it came down. So, you see, this whole gig, this whole journey... is spiritual. Now, when I started off on this life, I had good parents. So, and my needs were taken care of to the best extent that they could get it for me. So, in the beginning, I had nice, soft emotions. And then when I was 2 and a half, I lost my eye. My brother put my eye out with a stick. That was a very, very traumatic experience. And my psychological age stopped right there. Because we really didn't deal with it. We got me a new eye, a piece of plastic stuck in my head, and we moved on. They didn't give me any help to talk about how I felt. So I owned that for a long time, and I felt less than inadequate. So, yep, there it is. It's another one. You see, spiritual principles. We talk about love and compassion and understanding, but guess what? Isolation and disgust and disgrace is a spiritual principle. All of it's spiritual. If you can't see it, It's got to be spiritual, doesn't it? This God idea imbued us with everything. And step 6 and 7 only brings us to a place of willingness and humility, which are, yeah, they're spiritual too. So we find some willingness in step 6, and we find a little bit of humility to reach outside of ourselves for help. But do you really think that that stuff is gone? I go, and so here's the thing. I got to tell y'all. Instead of beating ourselves up when we, okay, I used to yell at people every week, probably multiple times a week. My aggression would come out full of fear. And then what happens, I got to Narcotics Anonymous and I started remembering that this doesn't serve me. It just pushes people away from me, and then I feel isolated and alone. So I learned to change my choices and take the one that serves me. The one that serves me serves you, because if I'm serving myself, I will never do anything to harm me or you. So if I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I started remembering, I didn't learn them, I had to remember them. I had forgotten them along the way. I had started ignoring them and then I forgot them. But the things that I started to remember, I started to enact. I started having activities from that side of me. The side that's loving, compassionate, kind, silly, funny, boisterous, jocular. Those things that we can't see, but we can see people exhibiting them. And I started exhibiting them, and people stopped running away from me, and they started sticking around. This journey kept, it went all the way through my life. My mother, my friend and I here, we're recovering Lutherans. My mother drugged me to church every week. I'm glad she did, but I didn't like it then. Because the principles there are here, but I couldn't catch them there because I didn't hear take what you need and leave the rest. So I thought I had to take it all, and I was always confused. You're not supposed to take everything, I'm telling you. One word is all you need if that'll help you stay clean today. One word! This journey, I did that, and I was okay in my early... puberty wasn't too bad for me. It really wasn't. But then I found, I felt separated, and I didn't, because nothing was good enough, and I'd never amount to anything, and all those things that we hear, and I started believing them. So I started doing them, and then I started running, and when I did that, my spiritual path wasn't enlightened, it was dark. To me. And I kept going along that path. You see, I didn't get loaded the first time I did on alcohol, but the first time I ever did something other than alcohol, I didn't get loaded. It wasn't big enough. It was you know, little old thing. I don't even know if it was smoking it. I don't even know if it was lit. But you see, they allowed me to touch him. I felt a part of. And maybe even just for a moment. But I felt a part of, and that was all it took. Because my choices changed. I said, I'm going to do this because these people don't care how I act. They don't tell me that I'm stupid because I can't do anything right. They just, here, take this and make you feel better kind of stuff. I'm running with it because I feel accepted. Well, I got to tell you, after a while, I wasn't feeling accepted. From out there. And out there didn't accept me because I was really doing some suspect activities. And I internalized that too. And what happened? I backed away from them and I backed away from them and I isolated myself. I had so many reservations. I could have filled, y'all could have gotten playing with me. I had some reservations. And those reservations were masks. And I had enough masks for all of us. Because the one mask was my mother's mask. I got pat on the back when I gave it to my mother, but when I took that mask over to my Uncle John and I said something to Uncle John, that was the wrong mask for him. I find another one. Oh my God, I can't even. So, you see, our disease isn't twisted. If it was, we could just twist right out of it. Our disease is spiritual. In mesh. That's a clinical word, but oh well. Our disease is like a gum tree. There is no rhyme or reason to those things. They just weave in and out, and that's what our disease does. I'll have to go eye on this one. I enmeshed my feelings, my thoughts, my emotions, my activities were all. How can I make any sense out of that? Oh, gee, 12 steps. Wow, check that out. Because those 12 steps allow us to pull one of them out and look at it exactly for what it is instead of trying to figure something. So you see, the fifth step, the fourth step and the fifth step, once it gets out there, how do you, it's out there. I can see it. Up here, I don't know which to shoot. So I don't know what's going on. And my spirit is damaged. My spirit is sick when I'm enmeshed into my own selfishness. I'm going to go somewhere with you. I hope this works. More will be revealed. That's why I stay here. Because more will be revealed whenever I am willing and open-minded to find that stuff. Or to catch it, or to see it, or to remember it, or to get somebody's help in becoming aware. What was I saying? No. My brain does this, folks. I'm not a circuit speaker. Y'all know why now, too, don't you? And how long I got? 10, 15, 10, 10 minutes? 8 minutes?
About
15. Huh?
15.
Ooh. I get overwhelmed, y'all. I got 15 minutes. No, anyway. I was going somewhere, and it went away. It'll either come back or it won't. It may come back in the shower. It might come back in 8 seconds. I don't know. But I isolated myself. Isolation. Yep, can't see it. So isolation is a spiritual principle. Ouch. And we have it in ourselves to feel that way. You know what? Speaking of isolation, No matter where we stand politically in Narcotics Anonymous, we are one fellowship. One. And we cannot be separated. God is in all of us. How can you separate God? We cannot be separated. Separation is part of my addiction. It's in my pea brain. And it's that thought that comes in that I'm not good enough. And I don't need to be around you because y'all got it going on. Y'all are A's. And I'm a D. Isolation. Yep, that's one of them too. It's our choice in our creative freedom to do what we need to do, to feel what we need to feel so that we can stop doing the things that don't serve us. It takes the 12 steps. It takes the 12 traditions. If we only work the steps, we got about half of the program. We need to learn these traditions. And how do we learn them? One other thing about that. Ooh, this is spiritual to me. What's the first thing in our minds when we make a mistake? I'm going to run. I'm going to hide from you. I made a mistake. I'm embarrassed. I have shame. Shame. Yep, yep. So, we have run away from society until we backed ourselves in a corner that we didn't know we could get out of clean. But we're here now. I have seen from coast to coast. I cleaned up in California, and I've been to meetings around the United States. I haven't been out of the country, but I've been around the United States to lots and lots of places. I've been fortunate, lucky, and blessed. Oh, yeah, I can't see those either. That's spiritual. That's spiritual to be blessed. That's spiritual. I have been blessed to be able to see hundreds of thousands of addicts come into our rooms. And I've seen lots of them stay. But when I make a mistake in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not supposed to run away from Narcotics Anonymous. I've seen too many people make a mistake, and no surrendered person ever went up to them, chased them out the door to say, wait a minute, hold it. So what? You made a mistake. Learn from it. Come back here. Please come back in here. You see, the first thing, sometimes the first thought in my mind after all these years is, I want to run. And running is a spiritual thing too. I'm running from you and me. Me mostly. So, we need to surrender ourselves. Tradition 3. What are the rights, privileges, and responsibilities of NA membership? One of our responsibilities is to surrender ourselves to this process and marry it, so that when that person wants to run because they made a mistake and they feel embarrassment and shame, we need to shed some light on that shame to dispel it. We have that power. We are not powerless over them. If we chase them out the door, hey, wait a minute. I did that, and I felt like running too, but I didn't. I ran into the middle of NA. Please come to the middle of NA. In the middle of NA, we've got duct tape and stupid glue, and we'll glue your ass right back on. We will glue your ass right back on so we can keep going with this process. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. Please. We got a paper bag with that stuff in it. We carry it around with us, man, because my ass falls off. So you see, this whole gig is a spiritual journey. If our spirit doesn't change and our attitudes and our thinking and our decisions from our choices from our thinking doesn't change, we don't stay. It's not about the activities, folks. The activities are inconsequential outside issues. What's important is how do I feel from my activity. And if I don't feel comfortable, I need you to help me, show me a way that I won't have to feel embarrassment and shame anymore. I need to run slap up in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous. Take you a piece of concrete, about that big, be all right. Take it outside here, set it out on the ground and watch it for 20 years. Now what happens to it? It crumbles from the outside edges first, doesn't it? You see, and if I'm on the outside of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm not checking this, I'm just kind of peeking in between, and I might step in one of the cracks, fall off and die. I need to get right up in the middle of this shit. Let people, these people are in cliques, they don't even talk to me, because you don't come and talk to us. You come talk to us. Come and be a part of us. We won't leave you out. Yep. Oh, wait a minute. We all have varying degrees of sickness and different rates of recovery. Oh, yeah. So there are those among us that will judge us. There are those among us that would want to shame us because they have shame of their own. I don't want to be by myself. That's why when I get afraid, I become aggressive. And I puff up and I go, "Brah!" I do that so that you won't know I'm afraid, which that's a farce, because y'all know that as soon as I do that. But when I do that, I don't want you to know I'm afraid. And actually, if I do it big enough and loud enough and strong enough, maybe I can make you afraid and I get you on my level. My journey doesn't like that anymore. My journey's all about, it's all about it. Perfect adherence. Oh boy. Doesn't happen. But I don't live in that shame. I have to dispel the shame. Or I will run right out the door. Within less than a second, I can take the principles embodied in this program that I'm trying to embody inside of me so that I can be an acceptable, responsible, productive member of this world and in the Narcotics Anonymous Society, and especially when it comes to Narcotics Anonymous politics, I can throw these principles right out the door now. And it's all because I'm afraid. I've got something I can't even hold in my hand. If I could hold fear in my hand, maybe I could control that shit. Control, that's another one, I think. Oh, yep. So you see, this journey is hopefully, while I'm on this journey, when I leave here, I went from yelling at people twice a week, like I said earlier, to once every 4 or 5 years. That's an amendment. I've amended my life from twice a week to once every 5 years. So when I make that mistake again, because I have forgotten, I can't run away from it. I made the mistake. I don't need to go, "Oh, no." I need to go, "I didn't want to do that. I'm not going to do it now." See, every time somebody walks through that revolving door back in and picks up another white chip, why can't we do that with our thinking? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with doing it with our feelings? What's wrong with doing it with our activities other than drugs? I do something that I don't like, and I say something that I don't like, and it's not liked by other people, and we have an estranged relationship. Why do I have to run from that? If I stay in that shame, I'm going to make a reservation, and I'm going to stuff it. Reservation. I think that's another one, isn't it? Damn, reservation. I can't see it, but I know it's there. I'll tell you what a reservation is to me. Now, this is my stuff completely. It's not in the dictionary. Roget and Webster's and smartasses in the 1400s, more will be revealed. A reservation is anything that I place in front of my happiness. What does reservations have to do with drugs? This woman told me about this. 12, 14 years ago, we're sitting in a meeting, and my sponsor keeps making me go over the first step. And she said something about these reservations, and I got to get rid of all of them because it's in the book. All reservations. She gave us the $64,000 question. What if I don't know what my reservations are? Oh, was that nice. I got the answer. And I'm going to share it with you. That's in the back 4 chapters of this book. If I am completely and totally surrendered to the process of Narcotics Anonymous, I will place into it from the first of the book all manifestations. And I'm going to put that, if I don't know what my reservation, I've got reservations, come on. I'm alive, I'm breathing. If I'm totally surrendered to this process of Narcotics Anonymous, when it rears up and shows me and becomes aware of what it is, I have a choice right there. I can stuff it and say, "That wasn't nothing. I ain't gonna tell my sponsor." And then 2 or 3 days later, "That wasn't nothing. That ain't got nothing to do with dope. I'm paying my bills." Stuff. keep stuffing them reservations, folks. The little bitty sublimes that we day got to do. I'll give you one in just a second because I think I got time. So what happened? I keep stuffing this stuff. And I keep stuffing this stuff. And it builds up. And the fear becomes so overwhelming that I back myself into a corner that I don't know I can get out of clean. I have to play Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it. So here's one. This was monumental to me. But it might be a little one to somebody else. I went and picked the dog up that fit right here. I was wrapped around its tail in 8 seconds. I said, whoa, awesome. I had this dog for 8 months. It went to California with me twice and it only came home once. It got eaten by a coyote. So what happens? The first thought that I'm powerless over, I'm not even good enough to have a dog. That's a reservation, people. Right there. So, I didn't talk about that. Mine's on airplane mode. I hope everybody else's is either off or in the car or something. I usually don't carry them, but this is the most important tool that you have in Narcotics Anonymous, bar none. It's more important than the meeting. It's more important than the book. It's more important than sponsors, because if I don't have this, how do I get a hold of my sponsor when I'm not in a meeting? Oh, I don't like to bother anybody. I'm not going to call them at 9 o'clock at night. They might be getting out of the shower. You know what? If I didn't want you to call me at 2 o'clock in the morning because you were pulling your hair out and almost deciding to use drugs, I would not have given you the number. You see, it's a two-way street. When you call me, one of my thoughts is, that guy thinks I've got something that he could use. Wow. So I feel useful. That's another spiritual principle you can't see. I feel useful. Oh, there it is. Really quick, like 2 minutes now or one. So you see, the first thought out of my mind, and there was no meeting at that time. It was at 7 o'clock at night and whatever, whatever. At 7:01, I was on the telephone to my sponsor, telling him, you know what, this is not true, but I'm saying it to myself that I don't deserve an animal. He said, yeah, you do, and you know, whatever. I surrendered that thing into this total program about a freaking dog. Yeah, anything, all of it. Got on his telephone, I called him up. Then I called, as soon as I got off the phone with him, I called up the guy that shot the dogs. And I said, hey, you still got the sister? And he says, yeah. I said, I want a niece one day. Guess what? When enough time went by that I was not replacing that dog. So with that in mind, they called me up and said, well, we're pregnant again, and we got two kids, and, you know, we got dogs and stuff. We don't, if you want the sister, come and get her. And I've had the sister in my life for 6 years, and she brings me so much joy and so much love and so much happiness and so much total acceptance. Because I am worth it, and so are you. Who is a recovering addict? Well, most of us don't have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in Narcotics Anonymous in one form or another. The getting and giving and finding ways and means to give more. We live to give and we give to live. Very simply, a recovering addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by a loving higher power. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive recovery whose ends are always the same. Happy, joyous, and free.